Greetings all, this is Vanessa Coddy, and today I am joined by Dr. Steve Brown, who's going to chat with us about a little kerfuffle that has emerged recently on the Twitterverse and in sort of medical communities at large. Welcome, Steve, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you work?
Hi, Cardi. Thanks for having me. I'm Steve Brown. People may know me from PCMA, which you have now let me out of the PCMA side of Right on Prime. And I'm a program director at a family medicine residency in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're at a big academic medical center there.
I was so happy that you could join us. Steve is an award-winning family medicine educator, and there's no better person to talk about this particular topic, about why many of the most prestigious, top-notch medical schools in the United States don't have a Department of Family Medicine. This was shared in tweets a few years ago, and then it sort of circled back recently and came up again in Twitter, and people were sort of decrying this and asking, how could this happen? And interestingly, around the same time that this was all happening on the internet, there was a young MD candidate at Harvard who was actually writing a letter to Harvard saying, please, it's time to bring family medicine back to Harvard, and explaining the reasons why and trying to figure out what we can do to make sure that this doesn't happen again, where they start a family medicine program and then it lapses.
It's so interesting because family medicine is so important in so many parts of the country and in so many academic departments. But for some reason, there's this group of these, the American Academy of Family Physicians calls them orphan schools that don't have departments of family medicine. And you sort of have to go back to the beginning to start to understand what is primary care. And I know that many of us sort of know this or feel this in our bones, what primary care is, but there's actually a really helpful definition that I think everyone will find useful, which is the five C's. So primary care is comprehensive, coordinated, first contact, continuous, and in the context of family and community. Does that feel like what you do in your community?
Where I work and where a lot of us work around the world, this would be the sort of cores of family medicine. You know, the idea is that if you have a problem that's not emergent, you go to see your family doctor, and that family doctor has known you for a while and they'll keep following you, and they often follow your family members and they understand you, your life, your sort of social and cultural norms, and have a sense of you within your community.
Right, exactly.
Playing a bit of the devil's advocate here, why can't we just get places like Harvard and other Ivy League schools to train more pediatricians, internal medicine docs, and even OBGYNs to cover those aspects of primary care?
Yeah, I think many people will sort of recognize that even though medical schools may say that those are primary care, those specialties are often not serving primary care in their communities. OBGYN, while it does have some aspects of continuity, really doesn't meet the criteria for primary care. It's not comprehensive. It's not first contact. Their training, it does very often not involve as much understanding the community and the context. And internal medicine, there's some general internists, and you probably all know some great general internists. Some of you probably are general internists, but 80% of internal medicine doctors are choosing subspecialties. And the same with peds. 50% of pediatricians are choosing residency in peds because they want to subspecialize. And if you look at family medicine in the United States and you look at health professional shortage areas, like a map of health professional shortage areas, if you took out family medicine, the map would look way, way worse. So a ton of family doctors, and I imagine this is the same for you in Canada, Cardi, is a lot of the family doctors are covering those health professional shortage areas. And I'll just share one other anecdote from our academic medical center. So when we have a retreat where we take our residents away for, you know, 12 hours, 16 hours, occasionally we've tried as long as 36 hours to sort of bond and decide how we're going to be well as a residency, we have to get three services to cover our one family medicine service. We have to negotiate with the pediatricians, the OBs, and the internal medicine doctors.
Okay, so what does primary care, which we often call family medicine, do for the healthcare system?
Now, when we're talking about primary care in the US, we're mainly talking about family medicine. And there's this concept called the triple aim. And really, primary care is the only thing that has been shown to improve the triple aim, which is improved healthcare experience, better population health outcomes, and decreased overall cost. there is mounting evidence that primary care is truly the miracle of modern medicine. And one of the things that they were talking about at Harvard and in this article is that our residents are also really trained to take care of health disparities, which is so important. We have a huge gap in equity in the United States. And this author was arguing that that could really be filled by the expertise of family medicine.
And I'm guessing Harvard, they're smart folks, they know this. So why aren't they restarting their Department of Family Medicine?
I have two guesses, and the listeners will not be surprised to find that my number one guess is follow the money. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of things happen here in the U.S. healthcare system. So departments of family medicine only receive 0.2% of total research funding dollars and 0.3% of NIH awards. This is definitely a failure of our top-down research agenda in the U.S. and our national priorities. These so-called prestigious medical schools are only doing what the system is encouraging them to do. And actually, it's probably sort of a which comes first, the chicken or the egg thing, because if the big prestigious institutions went ahead and declared that they were going to start going for these NIH awards as departments of family medicine, it would probably encourage the NIH to fund more important community research. And my second suspicion about why they don't have these is just the prestige lure of the Uber specialist. In the US, we definitely have a problem with medical students feeling that more prestige is in the fancy specialties.
During medical school, before you get into residency, are students generally exposed to family medicine? Or is it sort of a case by case, school by school basis on whether that happens?
There's been a pretty big push for most schools to expose students to family medicine. So some schools do this very, very well, and most have required family medicine clerkships. There are some places that have what they call primary care clerkships. So some schools, including some of these big schools that don't have departments of family medicine, might not have required family medicine clerkships or even earlier exposure in first and second year. You know, we're talking about prestige. And a lot of that prestige comes from these sort of like fake ratings systems like the US News and World Report. And how cool would it be if they rated the medical schools on social mission instead of their reputation or their endowment or whatever criteria they use? There's an article in the American College of Physicians in 2010 from Fitzhugh Mullen, who's sort of one of the founders and gurus of public policy and social consciousness. They wrote the article ranking schools by social mission instead of prestige. And the schools that were at the top were all the historically Black colleges that have medical schools. And you know what schools were at the bottom? A lot of the schools that don't have departments of family medicine.
Yeah, that's unfortunately not surprising. And it is a shame that we don't recognize the social missions more. So are there schools that do this really well in terms of promoting family medicine and making sure that the role of family medicine is really encouraged and put out there?
Yeah, totally. There are dozens of high-powered departments of family medicine. These are departments that are churning out family docs for rural and underserved communities, deeply engaged in the challenges facing the local communities, training medical students and residents in the five C's and the triple aim. And yeah, they're getting grant funding for important research that also keeps the dean happy. So just a few examples, Oregon Health and Sciences, University of Washington, University of North Carolina, UC San Francisco, University of Minnesota, and University of Wisconsin are some examples of schools that are doing amazing work in departments of family medicine.
And don't get us wrong, there are some Ivy League schools that do have departments of family medicine. But let's hope that places like Harvard and other well-known schools in the United States take note, because what better point of prestige than to have residents coming out of your program who are able to take care of patients from cradle to grave and to take care of the community as a whole? It seems like it would be something that the prestigious medical schools would want to do.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for engaging us in this discussion. Perhaps it settled some of the arguments that have come up in the Twitterverse and beyond. And we hope that you'll join us again sometime soon.